comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah!
Gooner Nation, we are coming at ya!
I hope your ass is ready for a comedy podcast.
We're coming at ya, government! You can't stop the truth, baby! We're coming live from Austin, Texas, the podcast capital of the world. And we're dropping truth bombs. The government fears us because the government fears the people.
It's true. Welcome back to another installment of the Are You Into Bus Stuff podcast from your friends over here at roadway.report.
You've got to buy the dick pills.
Soon, you've got to buy our to be funded by
Freedom Smoothies.
We should definitely be selling Freedom Smoothies, including dick pill powder.
Pop a couple dick pills, have a Freedom Smoothie, call it a day.
Hop on your bike and sail into the sunset.
I'm dying.
I hesitate and fear every time I share my identity on this podcast, but I'm Lucas, and I don't have any authority on this subject, but I do have a lot of passion.
We run a website containing public records of over 2 million traffic deaths in the United States. Anyone who's died in a car accident since 1975 there's basically a public record of that incident. And we maintain a website called roadway.report. You can just type that into your browser and you can see all those records dating back to 1975 for free.
You can also view the individual details of every crash by selecting the crash pin. You can view data by county. Lots of different ways you can query the data to look for individual ranges of accidents. So any of you data freaks out there can really get wet and wild with our data that we've pulled and made really, really easy to query on your end.
There was a guy who was like, hey, you know, this, I was looking at the crash where my friend died, and a lot of this doesn't really line up with the way things happened. Do you know why? And I was like, well, you know, there's a lot that can go wrong. But starting with the fact that it's all just police report data.
Why would the police have an interest in misrecording the death of one of their lovely, lovely citizens, Ben?
No, I don't know. I don't know. No comment. No comment. We are pro drunk driving advocates. We are concerned that the number of traffic deaths is going down, and we need that number up, because as a public service project, without traffic deaths, we don't have a reason to exist. So it's our official position that you should drive more in a bigger car, and we want traffic deaths to go up.
Yeah, and we're starting a campaign. We're going to be reaching out to a lot of city governments, city councils, advocacy organizations, and we're going to be advocating for your local officials to make your streets wider. We need to add more lanes. We need to increase automobile throughput at all costs. We need to remove signals. Yeah, we're really going to make an impact on this so we can keep making this podcast for you. That's what's most important, is that you can obtain the sweet, sweet sounds of Ben and Lucas on the Are You Into Bus Stuff podcast. And we can't do that if you don't go out there, slam some beers, and get behind the wheel.
Right. What's most important is that we're able to make this podcast. What's second most important is that we're bringing back drunk driving, and we're going to legalize it.
Yeah, we can take all the steps with our immeasurable power with local governments, state governments, federal governments. We can do that work, but you have to get out there and drink and drive. Without you listener, these streets are going to continue to become safer and safer, and we just can't have that, can we?
It has to remain legal to podcast. I feel like that's imperative. If the government were to come for our microphones and our interfaces and our sick editing rigs, then you know, it may compromise our whole operation, traffic deaths and all.
I mean, do you really want our country to look like one where people don't get out there and drink and drive? I mean, what is this country for if not getting behind a 2-ton vehicle while you're seeing the lines cross in front of your eyes? You know, where's the fun? I mean, that's what freedom is about. I mean, this is, you know, we're in a pretty politically tense moment, but I think we can all agree that drinking and driving is fun and should be encouraged.
I'm spitballing here, but what are the other things that we need to advocate for to make sure the website doesn't go out of business? It's like no speed cameras. That's another like quantifiably safer thing that we can't have happen, is automatic like speed ticket cameras. Speed limiters on vehicles, size restrictions for vehicles manufactured in the United States. There's no reason that a Dodge Ram or an F-150 should weigh like 8,000 pounds and be 6 feet tall.
We gotta get the bumper. We gotta get rid of bollards. We gotta get rid of curbs.
Yeah. We gotta get rid of bollards. We gotta get rid of curbs. All protected bike lanes have to be turned back into those bike lanes where it's like a strip of paint and you've got a bike in the door zone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would love to see more people getting doored out there. If you see a biker coming down the road and you're sitting in one of those with you know, adjacent to one of those door lanes, you got to throw that door open to keep this podcast
on. Throw that door out.
You
got to check someone right in the sternum. If you can get them in the sternum, you can split them in half. Oh, goodness. It's a beautiful day to podcast in sunny Austin, Texas.
We need to build more parking garages. We need to get on-street parking off the streets so that we can maximize car throughput and speed. We got to get those parking lanes off of our streets so that cars can go faster.
We've got to get rid of crosswalks. We've got to take the sidewalks away and make them more lanes, and we've got to take the houses away and make them more lanes, and we'll just maybe have like one sidewalk.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
And you can't. There's no street to cross because there's not like another sidewalk to walk to.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And there's nowhere to live because we made those lanes.
I like that. We need.
I think we're getting somewhere.
We need to, we should put beg buttons at every intersection, but they shouldn't do anything, and there should be no priority signaling. If we can remove the signals altogether, that would be helpful.
I like that. We leave the buttons, mm-hmm. but it doesn't trigger a walk signal.
Mm-hmm. And we should get those buttons further out towards traffic, as close to the lane as possible.
I think one of the most radicalizing aspects of navigating urban space is the beg button. Because it's like almost 30% of the time I come up to an intersection like with the signal, I can't go. I end up like missing the cycle. Whereas if I just got a signal, if I just got a pedestrian signal every time, then I'd be able to go.
Yeah, but then you might be able to cross the street safely, and that means when you get home, you're not going to have a podcast to record.
It's bullshit. It's dehumanizing, and I will continue to run red lights as a result of the alienation I've experienced at the hands of these stoplights. Who's with me? The government won't tell me what to do, and that's a guarantee.
We should definitely be advocating for any like trail networks. They should expand those trail networks and make them open to cars for sightseeing. I've been doing a lot of research on bike organizations, walk bike, safe streets organizations, and in my search I run into a lot of like trail advocacy groups, which is not exactly the same beat, but I definitely respect the love for the trail. I'm a trail person myself. I love getting out into nature on the trail, either on my bike or on foot. I mean, hell, I'll ride a horse, but we really need to be widening those and making them accessible for motor vehicles. Pathways that are just for bicycles and people on foot are really, you know, they're giving people an option so that they don't have to stand at the high volume car intersection huffing fumes and occasionally getting hit. So we really need to ensure that those get closed off to bicycles and pedestrians.
we're bringing cars back to Times Square, Pike Place Market.
Yes.
What's a good one? What's a good one?
The Santa Monica Pier. I don't even know if there were ever cars on the Santa Monica Pier, but we're going to put them on there, like all the way up by
the
roller coasters.
All the way under the roller coasters, under the pier, on the beach. Anywhere you thought was safe is no. There is no refuge.
Madison
there
Square
no
Garden,
respite.
We're going to – you can't buy a ticket to see
you
anything at MSG.
To Madison Square Garden.
You have to drive.
There's like 1,000 seats. You got they're all like $400.
They already all are like $400, so they need to be like $40,000.
Bro, MSG. MSG is actually very transit oriented.
Yeah, it's in a good spot for sure. Which is why
if we want to save the website, we've got to kill more people. And if we want to kill more people, we've got to get rid of the trains.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a light rail or a commuter heavy rail in your city, you should be getting onto that with your car. You need to be.
You should throw yourself. First of all, throw yourself in front mm-hmm. of it. Second of all, do it with your car.
Mm-hmm. Definitely do it with your
car. Stop the train at all costs. Defund any kind of public transportation. Gut public transportation, not enough so the public realizes that you're doing it, but enough to completely handicap the system such that it's no longer useful and create a systematic spiral of financial burden that becomes unsustainable and destroys all public transportation in America. That's how you create more traffic deaths.
Yep, and continue to incentivize and subsidize the development of single-family neighborhoods in the exurbs of your city. Make sure that there's no mixed-use development. Make sure that everyone is at least a mile, hopefully 2 or 3, maybe even 4 or 5, 6 miles away from the nearest grocery store, restaurant, bar. If you're going to be drinking, you need to be driving. Let's make that clear.
God damn! It's so true. We need a slogan. We need a hard slogan. Like, drink and drive. Go ahead, drink and drive. Roadway Report.
Don't let them take away your drive to drink and drive. And drink.
It's your right to drink and drive. Roadway Report. Don't let the government tell you what to do is pretty good. And I think it's core to our message. No, I think we need to cold call some elementary schools and tell them we want to give a talk about drunk driving. And then just give our pro-drunk driving diatribe.
You think it'll work? Like, do you think it's that intuitive?
Is there any... what is fraud? First of all, what is fraud, and can you get in trouble for doing that? Because I think it would be really funny.
I mean, if all we claim, I mean, we just have to be very deliberate in all of the messaging that we send, right? We just need to be clear that we are concerned about drunk driving, and we want to ensure that children
we are
have
drunk driving. Advocates.
I don't think we even need to say that. We just need... Yeah, I mean, we could. That's pretty funny. We're drunk driving advocates. See if anyone takes the bait. Just doesn't read it.
And if someone is like, are you an advocate of drunk driving? We'll just be like, ha 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 ha.
LMAO. Get it?
No. Yes. We'll just say that. No. Yes.
No. Yes.
No.
No. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Maybe. Maybe. Perhaps. I don't know. You'll have to ask my gay son.
Waiter. Waiter, my gay son is so hungry.
He drove here because he was drunker than I. What a good boy.
My gay son would like to hear about your specials.
My straight son, well, he'll have a cheeseburger.
What is the burger of the month?
Oh, I want to take a moment at the conclusion of that bit just to thank our listeners. You all are amazing. We've heard some really great feedback from you in the last like week or so since we launched the 9/11 Christmas special, which if this is your first episode, you need to go back and listen to it. Really, really riveting stuff. We get into the 307 9/11s of traffic deaths that have happened in the United States since 9/11. But we also received some financial support from a listener. So thank you, listener. We appreciate you funding this absolute nonsense and helping us get drunk drivers back on the streets.
Yeah, thank you. We promise for every dollar you send us, we will do whatever we can to create one additional traffic death. For every dollar.
I'll go down to the local pub and I will find someone that I know is driving and will be driving home and I will buy them a shot.
Yeah. We will we will hit and we will run.
If I'm going to hit, I mean, you know I'm going to run.
I still can't get over. I still can't get over getting a tortured youth to drive through their school. If the FBI can do it, why can't we? You know.
I don't know. We have no resources and very little charm.
I want to entrap four lonely right-wing Michiganders into attempting to kidnap the governor. And I just want to get one lonely teenager to take his Ford Bronco. we're trying to create traffic deaths. That's all I'm saying. That's why we're here, okay? The website, I can't pay my bills if more people don't get hit by cars. So we're here to lobby the federal government for policies like single-family zoning, parking minimums, and defunding public transit.
Yep, rip out those bike lanes.
And I'm going to convince a lonely teenager to drive a Ford Bronco through his high school.
Noble mission. It's a noble mission. It's a lonely path that we walk.
We didn't choose to podcast. Podcasting chose us, okay?
It's true. I showed up one day and this microphone was hung up in my office, and I just started speaking into it, and through my headset came this strange voice.
my girlfriend's always like, "You're crazy." And I'm like, "Baby, it's not easy being a visionary."
Does she listen to the podcast?
I hope not. I think the 9/11 episode was visionary.
I think it was definitely the best yet. I think that we got through to Gooner and non-Gooner alike. I think that we really, I think it really puts it in perspective. I think putting the traffic deaths in perspective of other major tragedies is a valuable thing. And we're just so surrounded by tragedy in this world that we need a way to laugh about it and think about it in a new way. And if we can solve this everyday humdrum boring problem that is based in planning and zoning and slow, stupid government decisions, and maybe if we can band together and make a positive impact on that, maybe we can make a positive impact on some of the other more horrific, more challenging tragedies that we face every day. That's my hope of recording this podcast.
Yeah, maybe our next episode is that we do it in like the number of Columbines.
Yeah, I mean I think that that's a good segment.
I feel like the tragedy of the week of deaths per incident is a little more. I think it's more similar, right? Like 9/11, sample size of 1, 3,000 deaths. Traffic deaths, sample size of 4 million. Varying from 1 to 28, right? I don't know. It's much more comparable.
14 people died in Columbine, so...
I mean, 14 people died in the United States today, right? Like, how many people died in the U.S. today? Like, 100?
From traffic deaths?
Right.
Yeah, so a magnitude of about 10 school shootings. I mean, I don't know what the average school shooting count is these days.
I don't think there's 10 a day.
There's not 10.
It feels that way sometimes.
No, but I mean, it would be, it's the equivalent of 10 a day. That's what I'm saying on our
10 Columbines a day, yeah. 1/9/11 a month. I'm a made man.
Yeah. And you know, we have this entire lobby dedicated to advocating for guns. So that's why we're out here to advocate for cars, advocate for drinking and driving. We need
let's get a few more Columbines out of it.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
One or two.
We're putting up rookie numbers. You said 100 a day. We got to get more people dead on the street.
Hit me with your car and I'll hit you with mine. How about that?
I think that. I don't know. I think you could motivate some listeners to drive their cars into each other. I think that's a good goal. I don't actually want...
That's a good one. That's a good one. We're going to have a meetup.
Uh-huh. A meetup, a crash up. Yeah, a crash up.
We're all going to drive to the same point, but we all have to get there at exactly the same time. Gunnar Army, it's with a great sorrow that I apologize for the incident. You there?
Yeah. I was giving you space to apologize for the incident. I don't know what you're talking about.
Gunnar Army, I'm sorry. It's with a heavy heart that I have to address some of the recent allegations. Gunnar Army, I'm just a podcast host. I didn't want to hurt anybody. Okay. Moving on from this bit.
the bit didn't bite. No, there was no bit.
Gunnar Army. All right, what do you got? What do you got?
I have to get your take on the Jimmy Kimmel news. I have, you know, a little bit of a take. And I think our listener is definitely looped in on everything going on with Jimmy Kimmel. We're gonna pull him off the air, quote unquote, for news defamation? What is it?
Disinformation?
No.
Kimmelification?
I don't fucking know. For bullshit, right? We all know that legacy media talk shows are terrible in terms of like advertising vehicles. They're not the cash cows they once were, because we all listen to the Are You Into Butt Stuff podcast to get our kicks and to get our rocks off, as it were. But I just have to ask, Ben, because you have really done a lot of investigation and a lot of creative inquiry into the development of James Kimmel. So I have to get your perspective on this turn in Kimmel's life and where this fits into his grand arc, as of course only you know where his life is headed.
Okay, so for the folks at home, I have three records. I have three EPs released. There's a fourth EP that I wrote and I've performed maybe three times, but I never recorded. It's the story, it's a fictionalized narrative of the life and death of Jimmy Kimmel. And the climax, everything culminates in Jimmy Kimmel killing himself, well, attempting to kill himself on live television. It's a concept album. It's a bit, right? But the reason I'm so fascinated with Kimmel as a character is because of his hollow, he's like this sort of shallow facade, right? He's little more than the Disney Corporation, right? He is, what he says and the things he does have no meaning, right? He is a shell of a person. He is a ghost, Right. He is Disney. So when I heard that he had been canned for saying something controversial, I was like, how? Right? He's not a person. And I still don't think he really said anything very... it's just theater.
Yeah.
It's just theater.
Exactly. I mean, you look at what Seth Meyers says about Donald Trump. You look at what John Oliver says about Donald Trump. Definitely more defamatory and critical of the president than Jimmy Kimmel, which is why, I mean, I thought it was really funny in context of your concept album, which has some really beautiful music in it. I've always really enjoyed it. But I think it's funny in context because only Kimmel would be willing to like go through this. I feel like it's a ploy to increase viewers. When they put him back on the air, it's going to, you know, create a huge surge in viewership. They're going to sell more advertisements. Everybody's going to make more money from Jimmy Kimmel to Donald Trump. And it's
I think you're onto something. I think that's correct.
And it's because Kimmel is willing to sell his soul, because he's willing to take the audience hostage, that we're experiencing this. So prophecy?
I don't know, bro. I just hope he snaps. I just hope he tries to shoot himself on live TV like happens in the record.
If he does, you're in big trouble, mister.
No, I mean, yeah. I'll get a Salem, Massachusetts.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, they'll call me a witch and burn me at the stake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Gooner Army, the government is cruel. It's a cruel bitch. We've got to get the real Alex Jones on our podcast.
Yeah.
Or else we're not real podcasters.
True.
If we don't get Joe Rogan or Alex Jones on the pod, we're not real podcasters.
Do they go on other people's podcasts?
No, they're the kings of Austin podcasting.
Yeah, so we'd have to unseat them as the leaders. So yeah, I mean, otherwise I guess it really is an abject failure.
The Gooner Army is coming. Look out, Alex Jones,
because
the Gooner Army is coming for you.
If you can't tell yet, listener, we're really dead set on creating a piece of media and a media brand, a media ecosystem that is approachable from every angle, that pleases everyone. That's really like number one for us, is to please everyone so that we can get to the top of the charts and take control of the media. I think that's fairly obvious from the way that we conduct ourselves, but I just wanted to let you know in case there was any question.
Yeah, it's twofold. We want to use fear to get people to buy our dick pills. And we also want to use our influence as an underground independent media empire to drive the rate of traffic deaths up as a sort of like dark money think tank. We're dark money, baby. Dark money, independent media, underground empire. We're coming at you straight from the goon cave. It's Ben. It's Lucas. It's Roadway Report.
At this point, there has to be, you know, some government official listening in on these podcast episodes, just with the nature of some of the content. And to you particular, I'm speaking only to that one listener now. I hope you're having fun.
I think they are. I think we're very entertaining.
Right? Like what a good assignment.
Some guy came up to me on the bike ride yesterday. I would go to a weekly group bike ride, and then someone came a couple weeks ago and they had like Palestinian flags, and they put an extra one on my bike, and I rode around with it on my bike that night. And then last night, or like two nights ago at the group ride, someone comes up to me and he's like, hey, do you do any other activism? And, and I looked at him like, what the fuck, you fed? Don't talk to me, fed.
So do you do any activism, maybe for legalization of drugs, or...
They are. They're coming for us. They're coming for us, but we won't be stopped. We've got the best lawyers. They'll do what they can. They'll have their false flags. They'll have their crisis actors. But the truth will reach the people. We're dropping bombs, baby. Truth bombs. Right on the people. Oh, that's dark.
That's a little rough.
If the government can drop their bombs, we can drop our truth bombs in peace.
You won't take my microphone, government.
I think that's something that's compelling about the Alex Jones independent media empire. Because it's a bit, right? You know, we don't admire him or what he does, but he's the most successful independent broadcaster in the world. And he can be sued for, basically everyone from Google to the federal government, all the most powerful people in the world can want to silence him, and they can sue him and drown him in litigation and take away all his money. But his followers will always go and listen to him. And as long as his followers are always going to listen to his independent distribution...
And buy his dick pills.
He can generate revenue, right? So it doesn't matter if he has any money, because he always has a revenue stream. And that's his freedom, right?
Well, and outside
crazy
of...
Crazy to me.
And outside of the... I mean, the revenue stream is obviously fundamental to the ecosystem that he is and represents. But outside of that, we are in a moment where... whether it's political theater or not, depending on the instance, free speech is being clamped down on. There is a genocide happening in Gaza, and there are active efforts centrally around, that's like the litmus test. That's the central issue around which they, want to silence voices. And it is happening. And to know that there is someone as radical and as extreme as Alex Jones, and that there is this network of independent media creators that wield their own power, I think is fairly uplifting, because it means that if they leave Alex Jones on the air, they've got to leave everybody else on the air. And if we can... I'm running out of steam here with my thought, but do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
we need to argue. We need to, if they can deplatform Alex Jones, they can deplatform us.
Yes. And we have to use our platform.
And specifically, they are deplatforming us because of the Alex Jones voice. Google, whatever AI Google has going on, is flagging my files and flagging our sensitive content.
Indeed. And it's absolutely sensitive content. You should definitely practice discretion before listening to this podcast or sharing it with the more sensitive in the world. But we're trying to do a good thing here. Obviously we're not advocating for more traffic deaths. Haha. We want to fix this very real problem that we have an opportunity to fix. This problem is within our ability as a society to resolve. And if we don't get serious about resolving it, what good are we? What is the point of us? So go out there and do the next thing in your neighborhood. Go and do it. Put a cone at the corner. I don't care. Figure it out. But
yeah,
getting emotional.
Totally. 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 Throw a fucking scooter in the street. Block that shit. Block that shit. Throw a scooter in the street. God damn it. Get drunk as shit and just start blocking the road, man. The government can't tell you what to do. Maybe that's not great advice. But yeah, definitely maybe a cone.
Yeah, I think
it's better than nothing.
Well, and don't put yourself and your livelihood at risk. If you have yourself and your people that you have to take care of, kudos to you. We talk about masculinity a lot on this podcast, and the most hilarious sentence I think in the 21st century is we talk about masculinity a lot on this podcast. But we do. And if a part of your masculinity, I admire your masculinity being, I want to ride my bike. I want to have my freedom and I want to take care of my family. Those are good and beautiful things, and don't put those things at risk by throwing a scooter in front of a cop car going down your local neighborhood strode. However,
take a scooter to the local overpass.
Yeah, and keep listening to this podcast and keep sharing it with your friends. Join the movement for safer streets. Go to Roadway Report. Add the obituary from your buddy who tragically died in a car accident. If you click on any of the crashes in Roadway Report, at the bottom of the link, Ben did some amazing work cleaning up the way that the data displays. So first of all, you'll be able to see the people first. So that's what we're really concerned about, is all of these lives that are being lost at the hands of our violent and intentional transportation system. So we can see the people. We can see the 13-year-old boy that was killed, his life cut short, right? And if you know the location of the crash, you find it on Roadway Report, add your comment, add the obituary, add what's wrong with, you know, Ben, you were talking about the person that said that the data that he saw that was indicated by the police officer that reported it was incorrect. Like, add your comment. Like, we're all in this together, and the more that we can flesh out this platform as a tool for changing minds and hearts, the better and stronger we're going to be. I'm sending an email out to another huge blast of advocacy organizations. If you know any of these organizations, I'm going to be sending them an email tomorrow morning. So please, like, reach out to them as well. Tell them to contact me and make a meeting with me. I'm going to be reaching out to Mass Bike, which is, you know, Massachusetts Bike Organization. I'm going to be reaching out to Bike JC, that's Jersey City. I'm going to be reaching out to Bike Anchorage, Anchorage, Alaska, the Hawaii Bicycling League, Talbot Thrive, which is sort of a small one in New Hampshire, Bike Maryland. Basically, if there is a bicycle or a safe streets advocacy group in the United States, I am reaching out to them. I have scoured the internet. I am doing my due diligence to connect with the people that are already making impacts in their neighborhoods, in their cities, and we're going to help them use Roadway Report to change the world and to sway the minds and hearts of constituents and policymakers alike. So help me with this work. If you are a part of an advocacy organization, reach out to us. We will put this website on your, we will put our tools on your website for free. We are just eager to get this tool out into the world, into the hands of people that can use it, so that people can stay safe on the streets and advocate for safer streets in their neighborhoods. So that's my rant.
No, it's good. It's good shit. We really did improve the reports, the police reports, the crash reports, the fatal crash reports, whatever you want to call it. It was before, you would click on a traffic death and you'd have to like really squint and be like, what does this mean? But now it kind of, you kind of just read it. Now it's like pretty much human readable. And I think that makes a huge difference. So it's a lot more interesting to like click around on the map and start looking at traffic deaths and seeing who died. Like this one, like the first one I click into, the driver, a 36-year-old male, the driver of a Kawasaki two-wheel motorcycle, rolled over and then struck the right back side of a Chevy sedan. And he died.
Is that
the two people in the Chevy were unaffected? This occurred in Denver on Federal Boulevard.
Sounds about right.
Where it meets 67th Place.
Sounds about right. That's a place to die for sure. Does that count as a pedestrian, bicyclist, or other death?
That's a motorist death.
That's a motorist death. Interesting.
Motorcycles are motorists and bicycles are pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more nuanced than that. Bicycles are non-motorists and so are pedestrians, right? So are scooters, so are people in buildings, so is somebody on a train. And then motorists are driver, passenger, I'm forgetting.
What about
person in a parked car?
What about my gay son? What would you classify him as?
Your gay son. It would be a type of pedestrian. Almost like 1% or like 2%, something in that neighborhood. Like a couple out of 100 pedestrians are people in buildings. There was a high-profile crash in Ontario, I think. Someone drove a car into a daycare this month and hit like 12 kids. But that happens a lot more than you think. Like people get hit by cars in buildings all the time. It's not nearly as normal as getting hit by a car like on the sidewalk or in a crosswalk or in the street. Most common in the street. Second most common in a crosswalk. Next most common on the sidewalk or on the shoulder. And then some other like edge cases. And then like the least common pedestrian position is like in building.
But notice it's least common, not safe place.
Well, I think it's just context dependent. You know when you're near a high moving, you know when you're in a unsafe space.
Yeah, I could see the truck crash into the dentist office down the street from my apartment, but I'm safe on my third, looking out my third story window.
You hear it, if anything. It's like, if you're in danger, you can probably hear it at all times.
Yeah, I mean, this is another thing that you can get out there and do, folks. If you have kicked a few drinks back and you're behind the wheel, you could drive into any building.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for catastrophe to come to you. You know, you can pick what you hit. Kamikaze. Kamikaze.
Oh no. You just lost some people. Like anyone who's still listening, you just lost a few of them.
Whoa, wait. So I can joke about Columbining your high school with a Ford Bronco, but I can't do like a Chinese guy or like a Japanese guy.
That's a good question. Write us and tell us what you think.
What's worse? I don't think either are. I think we already lost everyone who would have dropped out at that joke. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And I personally think deep down everyone's a shitlord.
Yeah, I think that comedy is a sacred thing. I think comedy is a place where we have to be gentler with censorship. Because obviously, like, we have to take care of each other, and institutional inequalities are the foundation of our great, terrible nation.
Go on.
And it's important that we continue to be able to be allowed to discuss these things. And I think comedy is one of the first and most easy ways into those conversations, even if it can be a little rough on the edges, a little pokey at first. And obviously, I'm saying this from some position of privilege. So please let me know what you think. I obviously am no authority on anything.
So are you familiar with the Chautauqua? Like it's like a traveling seminar.
Chautauqua.
Almost like a circus.
Chautauqua.
Chautauqua. Chautauqua? I hardly know it.
Yeah, a lot of really interesting history of the Chautauqua organization. There's a Chautauqua Park here in Colorado, in Boulder.
Yeah. No, so it was like, okay, so this was like highbrow entertainment in the late 1800s, early 1900s, but lowbrow entertainment, like now today we have TikTok. This is so fucking crazy. Today we have TikTok. 15 years ago we had Facebook. 20 years ago we had MySpace. You know, in the 90s we had Seinfeld, and we had Columbo, and before that we had I Love Lucy, right? And we had Charlie Chaplin. And sometime before Charlie Chaplin and before, like, what's those fucking guys' names? The Marx Brothers and all those characters and Abbott and Costello, they came from vaudeville. And what did vaudeville come from, Lucas? What are the origins of vaudeville?
Vaudeville came from what? Minstrel?
Minstrel. And so we got the Chautauqua and we've got minstrel. The yin and yang of American pop culture entertainment in the late 19th century. So, like, I guess it's like these seminars were considered highbrow. Like, it's what the well-to-do or educated classes would go and participate in. And minstrel, or like blackface comedy, was the most popular form. It was pop entertainment in America. It was incredibly popular. It was the I Love Lucy of the late 1800s was blackface. And I just think that's lost on people. I just think that's lost on people. Like, that is the history of American comedy. That is our taste. That is our culture. Those are our roots.
Yeah, I will also place on the side of Chautauqua and the Chautauqua organization. You'll notice that a lot of the places that are called Chautauqua are in really swanky neighborhoods, and they were really well to do, and it was fun for the whole family, and they did do seminars and they did talks from some influential thinkers and things like that. I would also put in that category on the other side of vaudeville and minstrel and that legacy of lowbrow entertainment. I would put like operetta and like public or touring theater. For example, Eugene O'Neill, who became, you know, one of the fathers of American playwriting, his father was an actor in the American theater. He was a touring actor, and he was famous for doing The Count of Monte Cristo. And these were broad, you know, melodramatic comedy performances that would tour around the country. And it was a really strong vein of theater history that we have in the United States. And it was definitely like for the masses, and it was broad melodrama, and is definitely another piece of that like slightly more cultured side of well I mean that's a terrible way to put it, but the highbrow side of the history of American entertainment that sort of fell apart. Like, and those things started to meld together with the advent of radio and the platforming of black artists, the development of jazz. I would also throw musical theater in there as another place where, like, for example, in Oklahoma, you have two sets of lovers, right? You have Lori and
Ali, the traveling salesman.
Yeah, so you get the traveling salesman and Ado Annie, right? And or you get Will Parker and Ado Annie. I'm like butchering my Oklahoma history, but you get one love story that is the operetta, and you get one love story that is the vaudeville, right? And so like culture sort of blended together. And I think you're right that losing touch with some of our cultural history is part of what leaves us so far in the lurch, especially in a world where the separation between our classes continues to get more pronounced, even while we're all fed the same like TikTok 6 hours a day.
I am not advocating for minstrel shows here.
I just think
it evoked that when you were like, well, this is a space where we need to be lenient. And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm glad things have changed.
Indeed.
But it is our history. It is our history. Yeah, bro. Are you familiar with the phones policy at the Kiltony Theater, the Joe Rogan Alamo Drafthouse Ritz Theater?
No.
The fucking movie theater I used to bike to and see movies at, which is now Joe Rogan's house, and it's where they film Kiltony.
No, I don't know about the phone rule there. I'm sort of vaguely familiar with Kiltony.
You can't bring phones. It's like a comedy show where there's like a bucket, and if your name gets pulled from the bucket, you do a minute, and then everybody makes fun of you. And they're all racist as dick. They're all very racist, and you can't bring your phone. And so they like take your phone away and put it in a bag. So when they say the N-word, you know, nobody gets in trouble.
Theater. I mean, Chappelle does the same thing.
But they love it. People are loving it. You know, they're like, I see rednecks from all over America coming to Austin to see this show. Like, it's always someone in a fucking NASCAR shirt. It's some like working class Republican from Iowa who is like, I can't wait to see, you know, it's their favorite show. It's the number one podcast.
Well, besides,
it's the podcast capital of the world.
It's the number one podcast besides ours.
Not really, though. So first it was Joe Rogan, and then it was Kiltony. But soon it will be Roadway Report. It will be Bus Stuff. They will not stop us. We will not be suppressed by their information warfare, by the federal government, by the FBI, the CIA, the NSA. They won't make my children gay, you CIA, you NSA. I'm coming for you, government. And we're taking back the streets.
So why does Google flag our content?
The AI thinks we are the real Alex Jones, and the AI doesn't want to serve Alex Jones via Google's servers.
That's how good your Alex Jones impression is. I think you should feel flattered.
I'm sort of flattered, but I want the pod to disseminate. I want to make sweet love to the listeners' ears.
Well, you do that every day. You do that every day.
Come suckle on my podcast.
But
teat.
Yeah, I mean, like,
let me giveth you milk.
Through channels like Rogan and Alex Jones and Kill Tony, like, these terribly racist and violent ideas and principles are becoming mainstream. So it is important that we create a counterculture that exists alongside it. And yeah, we might not be as fluffy or easy to rub up against as Jimmy Kimmel, but we will tell it like it is.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. We're here to advocate against the violence of the built environment on working people. This is an issue that primarily people who own cars, educated, high-income people are insulated from the deleterious effects of air pollution, from being hit by a car. They get to drive bigger cars. They get to drive safer cars. They're less likely to have loved ones or themselves be affected, hurt, injured, or killed by traffic violence compared to people living in low-income communities, low-income people, Black, Indigenous people of color. Specifically Indigenous people, I think, do have the worst numbers on this, as it is with a lot of things, right?
And like so many other epidemics of violence and inequality, while they do affect certain groups of people more than others, they do affect all of us. Like, being rich isn't an antidote to getting killed by a car. It's still very possible, just given the blatant violence of our transportation network that is founded in the decisions that our governments and developers have made. And these are conscious things that we can all change.
It's true. Little Jimmy can still run headfirst into someone on the freeway, right? Like, it can happen to anybody. But it's more likely to happen to people in vulnerable situations.
Exactly. Let alone the status and cultural impacts of not using an automobile. You know, I've asked on the podcast before, why do people like the train more than the bus? And I think Ben's answer was the bus is poor coded. I've asked the internet the same thing, and it tells me the same thing, like, oh, only poor people ride the bus, which, I mean, is sort of absurd. There's no real difference between riding the bus and riding the train. They both get you where you're going. Sometimes the bus is even better because it can take a direct route. But because of all of these associations that have been heaped on, just the repeated cultural association of the automobile with someone's identity, especially their masculine identity, these issues are obviously not as severe as getting killed by an automobile, but they take a toll. They take a mental toll by dehumanizing people that are outside of motor vehicles, and we have to stand against that as well. So on that note, I did want to explore one more part of the website today in our last few minutes. I wanted to highlight the roadway fatality data by county. You can select data by county from the drop-down menu on the left of the main map page on Roadway Report. I encourage you to explore all the links, especially the merch store. That has some really hilarious shirts. You can see if we're selling dick pills. I haven't looked at it in a while, and Ben has been saying that a lot, so it's very possible that we are. So go ahead and check, but I wanted to look at a particular county, so I'm going to drill down by state, and I was in Miami-Dade County again last week, and I saw some truly frightening moments on Highway 1, the Dixie Highway, as they call it, which runs north-south along the Miami metro area, and I just wanted to see kind of what the numbers were looking like in Miami-Dade County, so I'm going to check that out. I'm clicking into Florida, and now I'm clicking into Miami-Dade.
It loaded.
And this is a big county, listener. So if you're worried that your county won't load because there's too much data, you're wrong. Okay, go try it. So it looks like total roadway deaths have been on a pretty consistent increase since about 2012. It looks like they were doing well between 2006 and 2012. There was a decrease in total roadway deaths. But let's see, non-motorist roadway deaths, also a steady increase since about 2011. Pedestrian deaths, steady increase. Bicycle and micromobility deaths are going crazy. It's not safe to...
I think that that trend is everywhere. I think more people are just more biking.
And scooting.
I don't think much has changed. More people are biking, plus... Yeah, exactly. It's like, I think the introduction of scooters has introduced a new class of people who are willing to participate in the roadway. I think some data shows that women are overrepresented scooting compared to men. Like the percentage of women cyclists is lower than the percentage of women scooterers, is what I'm trying to say. So I think the introduction of scooters has and other micromobility devices has expanded the group, including e-bikes, right? Has expanded the group of people who are willing to use a bicycle. Who you're willing to use micromobility to access the roadway.
Scooter.
And then that in combination with just cars are bigger, mm-hmm. right?
Scooter, and I think this is important, I hardly know her.
Scooter? I just met
Scooter,
her.
Scooter, she's my sister. Scooter.
Oh, waiter, that's my wife.
Scooter, again?
Third base.
I do want to highlight, for non-motorist roadway deaths, the all-time high was in 1980, and we did see...
Should we pick
we
a few out?
We did see a pretty good decline with the all-time low in 2003. And now we are back nearly at that 1980 high. So there was some progress here, and I've seen this trend a lot, especially in like large metro areas. And I think that you're right. It's about cars getting bigger. It's about more people biking and scootering, which is putting them in danger more frequently, or putting more people in danger. And this is something that we were moving in the right direction a couple of decades ago. And we might do well to look and see at what was happening to cause that trend.
I got one. God, this is so sad. December 5th, 1980, 8:50 p.m. A 3-year-old pedestrian was struck by...
No.
Yeah, they were hit by a Chevy coupe, 2-door.
Was that the only fatality?
There was another car involved, but it doesn't say how. Unknown crash type. Oh, it looks like a station wagon like ran a stop or something, and then the coupe hit a 3-year-old. It's from the 80s, so the crash report isn't as specific. Yeah, I guess it was the station wagon that got drug tested. So I guess maybe they committed a traffic violation.
I will say between like the 80s and the 90s, where some of these were at an all-time high, we are seeing a greater share of deaths on 5-lane roads as well as 4-lane roads. So I'm sure some of these are due to roadway expansions that have happened since the 1980s. Have to do a little bit more analysis to see like which roadways in particular are causing these trends. But this is the kind of data that you can access on Roadway Report to learn more about your city, potentially send some information to your local officials, try to move the needle. Let's get us back on the right track. Let's decrease roadway deaths.
This is so fucked up. Okay, so like 3-year-old killed December 5th, 1980. 30 hours prior, December 4th at 5 p.m., a 9-year-old boy was hit by a Mercury sedan. Isn't that sad? Like same place, same time, same idea, right? The day before, in the same place. And Miami really is a bloodbath. Of all the cities you can pull up on the map, I think the scariest looking ones are like the Miami Metro, LA, Phoenix.
All of Florida. All of the Florida metros are really rough. Orlando is also sort of scary.
It makes Austin look like light work.
And I would say, you know, I know a lot of our listeners have probably shaped their lives around being able to walk, bike, take transit where they want to go. And we do take it for granted, but there are millions and millions of people that don't have the privilege to do that, that live where they live. And, you know, as we all know, you know, you can't wave a magic wand and change your circumstances. So these issues disproportionately affect those that can't change their circumstances, even if they do identify these problems, like some of our listeners, like myself. So I'm just acknowledging that, you know, the steps that I've taken to live in a part of my city, I live in Denver, that is functional for me as someone who does not like to use an automobile. Not everyone has that privilege, and it's our responsibility to serve all of those people, not just in our urban areas where we can, where the environment is such that it's a little bit less of a steep hill to climb. We gotta look in places like the South Miami suburbs, where the death map is telling a really, really bleak story.
We've got to take back the streets. We've got to overthrow the government. We've got to do a lot of things. We've got to do a lot of things, but it starts with coming together. Wait, gooners never come. I'm a never-comer, perma-gooner, and gooners never come. But we must come together, the gooners.
You.
And unite against the fascist government.
You and me and all of our neighbors holding hands together to take the streets back and make this a more beautiful world. That's all we're really about, listener. So thanks for joining us for another week, another installment of the Are You Into Bus Stuff podcast. Go explore the death map. Tell us what you think. Find the trends that are relevant to you. Reach out to your advocacy organization. Tell them that Lucas from Red Ray Report is going to be sending them an email and that they should respond and make a new friend. That's really what I'm looking to do with these outreach efforts.
Look, we're going to need you to send us the funniest traffic deaths you can find on the site, okay? Because we're running out of material fast.
That's true.
If we can't make this podcast, we can't create more traffic deaths and we can't make money, right? We can't sell our dick pills and we can't make money. So this is getting convoluted.
Yeah.
But please, please, look up your favorite traffic deaths on the site and send us the funniest ones. If you send us the funniest one, we'll send you a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's a good bargain.
Anything else you want to say to the Gooner Army, buddy?
I think that's it. I feel like we rode the wave from the 9/11 Christmas episode. Again, I think you should go listen to that one. I think that one's better than this one, but we leaned heavily into the comedy today, which is a good thing. And I love you, Ben. I love you, listener. Thanks for tuning in. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you next time.
Gooner Nation. Now that we're alone, I want to have a one-to-one. You gotta know, when the government comes for me and they find me in my studio apartment with a revolver in my hand and two bullet holes in the back of my head, I want you to know that I didn't do it. It was the government. It was the government that turned my children gay.
Podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast. Comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah! Thank you.